Hey, feeling unsure about your finances these days? You're not alone. That's why Noble Gold Investments is here to help. Just hear it straight from the people who they've helped. The Noble crew walked me through everything with no stress. With their help, I could finally sleep easy at night. And now this month, Noble Gold Investments is handing out a free 5-ounce silver America the Beautiful coin if you qualify for an IRA. Invest in gold and silver with Noble Gold Investments. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. Isabel Brown, former Turning Point USA chapter leader, is taking the internet by storm, talking about why young women should reject hookup culture. Marjorie Taylor Greene on why we need to declare war on the Mexican drug cartels and more. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is Isabel Brown. Isabel, I will always introduce you as former chapter leader at Colorado State University for Turning Point USA. That's always how I'm going to introduce you. So, Isabel, welcome.
Always.
The most important thing on her bio. Isabel, I wanted to have you on. You did a great job on whatever with all of the OnlyFans hookers or whatever that is on there. You did a really great job. And I want to play one of the pieces of tape here. And Isabel, you've come on our program a lot. For people that remember back during all the January 6th stuff, I think you were on almost every single day. It was a lot of fun. So I want to play this piece of tape here and then talk about you going on this whatever thing, literally it's called whatever, and talk about young ladies in general because it segues beautifully to something we talked about yesterday. Let's play cut 104, please.
Do you think that you have a right to...
Yeah.
What makes you say that?
Because it's my reproductive right. It was given to me to do to have children.
What's the purpose of
to have children?
Arguably, has two purposes. A, create new human life, which I think our society has forgotten about. B, emotionally bond with the person that you're having with. That's mm-hmm. what your brain is designed to do. Every time that you have sexual intercourse, your brain releases oxytocin and it makes you feel emotionally bonded to that person, which is why hookup culture is so damaging, because it's not transactional. It's not supposed to be transactional. Right. It's supposed to be bonding. I think that line of thinking is what's led to an extremely pro-abortion culture. I think that's what's led to an extremely pro-hookup culture. I think that's what's led to women being stuck in this zone and men being stuck in a zone of not being able to have a meaningful connection.
Isabel, elaborate. Floor is yours.
Thank you so much for having me, Charlie. It's a pleasure to be back on the show. I was very fortunate several months ago to be a guest on the Whatever podcast, which has been going very viral on social media because of clips just like this one, mostly purporting women being cycling in this OnlyFans and hookup and pornography culture that is so damaging to the women of our generation. I had the unique opportunity to be surrounded by people who fundamentally disagreed with my worldview, but was very profoundly surprised to find that most of these women were just lacking the opportunity to have been told the truth in their life. They'd never been challenged on their beliefs of abortion or hookup culture or even pornography and OnlyFans. And just being willing to sit down and have the conversation was so powerful to reach millions of people in clips just like this one.
Yeah. So, Isabel, let's just educate our audience that isn't as aware. This is a show called Whatever, right? Has 4 million subscribers. And basically, it is OnlyFans girls and, you know, pseudo hookers that basically defend hookup culture, free sex. And they seem, the young ladies on that program seem very angry. So talk about that. And their politics are radically left wing. It's probably one of the more influential shows when it comes to talking about sex and relationships and all that. So educate our audience on the impact of that.
Absolutely, Charlie. And I will say, just in general, the world of dating podcasts and content like this almost always invariably skews to the radical left. It is extremely pro transactional sex. It is extremely pro dating app. It is extremely anti-marriage or family. And so having the opportunity to bring a countercultural narrative and objective truth to the women of our generation, who are also non-coincidentally skewing overwhelmingly to the left, has never been more important than it is today. The young woman in the pink sweater who I was talking to in that video admitted to being a former recovering sex addict on the panel. We also had an active OnlyFans creator and another woman who was actively shooting pornography videos as a part of this conversation. But when you start asking the right questions and you peel back some layers of defensive anger there, what's really fascinating to me is every single woman sitting around that table eventually came to agree with me that modern feminism was destroying women's happiness, that we should all be quitting our hormonal birth control pills because it's poisoning us and destroying our body's ability to function correctly, and that hookup culture was making them feel really empty and lonely inside. So being willing to talk to people who might disagree with you is really the only way that we're able to change culture from the inside out.
Yeah, and to your and to their credit, they allow disagreement on their show. And to your credit, you did a great job. So let's kind of elaborate on part of this. So let's play put 65 up, Isabel. I went to Northern Arizona University. You're familiar. You did this at Colorado State and Fort Collins a lot with our Turning Point USA chapter. And it just so happens, Isabel, I was surrounded by almost all women. Now, they wouldn't tell me they were women because I asked them what a woman was and they said that we don't play your trick games. Really a sad state of modern academia. Isabel, but why is it that young ladies are skewing so disproportionately liberal? And interestingly, almost all the support, there were young ladies that supported me there at NAU, but the men, they were totally on board for what I was. So explain that divide, because it's only deepening.
It has, and it's getting crazier as we get closer to the 2024 election, Charlie. Some recent polling came out that said the vast majority of Gen Z college-aged men are skewing very conservative, while the exact opposite is true for women. And I think a lot of that has to do with traditionally how we have communicated conservative and traditional values. The facts don't care about your feelings mantra worked really, really well to attract millennials to the conservative movement and to traditional values. But Gen Z is a very empathy-driven generation. We think about our feelings quite a bit. And maybe that has something to do with how we were educated with SEL, social emotional learning classes. Or maybe it's because you're directly connected to the entire world, to any person on the other side of the globe with the click of one button. But empathy and feelings first really seems to be a powerful way to communicate values on either side of the aisle to Gen Z. So when we can ask a young woman, do you really care about a woman experiencing an unexpected pregnancy, for example? Or do you really care about women having the same rights and the same opportunities as men in society? Well, if you answer yes to any of those questions, really the only way for you to live your life is to embrace conservative values or traditional principles. It's a much more effective way of communicating those ideas. And I think we're playing a little bit of catch up there going into 2024, but I'm overjoyed to see so many Gen Z conservative creators really start to make headway in that space for young women in particular.
Yeah, so help me out here. I couldn't care less about people's feelings. In fact, I find that anyone who cares about feelings to be weak, and it's completely irrelevant. Reason is what should dictate our politics. So how do we square that with conservative values? Again, you're Gen Z, Isabel, so I'm going to exclude you. Finally, there's a generation that America hates more than millennials, and it's Gen Z. Because, you know, every bad joke was towards millennials when I was growing up. So, you know, the young men seem to be okay about feelings. But I was talking to a lot of these young ladies on campus, and you're right. I said, where do you get your morality from? Well, I do. It's what I feel. It's how I want to operate. And this is weaponized narcissism. Correct me if I'm wrong. Walk me through it.
It absolutely is, but there's no reason to believe that reason and logic cannot coexist with feelings. Ultimately, we are human beings made in the image of God, right, Charlie? And ultimately, our emotions are what give us a soul, our ability to find the humanity in other people and connect on that shared basis of humanity through empathy is how we are supposed to find relationship with others. I have found it abundantly successful communicating to the peers of my generation, learning more from this feelings-first communication style to tie it in with reason rather than beating them over the head with this is objective fact and you have to agree or else. Tying in that humanistic side of things is a fantastic, very effective way of communicating objective truth and conservative principles, which our generation desperately needs to hear now more than ever. And I think there's a lot to be said about Gen Z not being the brunt of everyone's joke. There is nothing but reason to have hope for Generation Z. We are overwhelmingly an independently thinking generation. We are overwhelmingly entrepreneurial and starting to reject the broken four-year university system. We're voting more conservative over time. If you look at exit pollings from 2018 to 2020 to 2022, we're starting to get married younger. We're dating or ditching our dating apps and more. So lots of reasons to have hope and excitement for a generation who may think a little bit differently and communicate a little bit differently, but are hungry for purpose, objective truth, and these traditional principles that we know and love in the conservative movement.
I think that's well said. And for some of the young ladies I saw in Flagstaff, there was no thinking, only feeling. What issues, and we'll talk about this after break, what's the number one issue for most young female voters on college campuses?
I think most young females are looking for a reason to be proud to be a female today. Womanhood is under attack from literally every direction in society, Charlie, and to the point that we can't even be young women anymore. We're being encouraged to run away from it. Anti-feminism has become feminism, ironically, and where we can start standing up for objective truth and womanhood, I think we have a lot of room to make headway with this generation.
Strong Cell is amazing. I got to tell you, the combination of NADH, CoQ10, and collagen is really something. You know, people ask me, they say, Charlie, how do you keep your energy up? How do you just keep on pushing? Look, part of it is diet, nutrition, but I'll be honest, I take supplements really seriously. Fact check me on this. You can say, oh, Charlie, I'm going to fact check you. Type this into your search engine. NADH. Just type it in. What does it tell you? It might tell you that it is the secret to living long, anti-aging properties, more energy. Well, all of that is being proven in more and more clinical trials. NADH is a precursor so that your mitochondria can remain healthy and vibrant. The elites, a lot of billionaires, people with a lot of money, they spend a ton of money on NAD. It's a fact. NAD just might be your secret weapon for more energy. I take NAD every single day. I could tell you that NADH compared with CoQ10, the trials show very, very good things on it. Don't take my word for it. I mean, honestly, my word should be good for something, but fact check me. Look at it. And if you do it over 30 days, you'll see an increase in energy. I wake up better than ever before. NAD can help you potentially, again, fact check me on this, with depression, anxiety, other issues that you might be dealing with. It is nature's gift to you so that you might have extra energy and mental clarity. You guys can use promo code Charlie for 20% off. It's strongcell.com/Charlie. NAD might be nature's secret weapon for you. I love it. I take it every single day. Try it for at least 30 days to see the maximum benefit. And let me know, has NAD helped your life? Strongcell.com/Charlie. Check it out. Strongcell.com/Charlie. So Isabel, here's where I a man and I try to just think with reason and feelings are largely irrelevant, but also I'm not of Gen Z. So when I start talking about abortion with young Gen Z women, I might as well be on Neptune, they're on Mars. So they say, it's my body, my choice. How should we navigate that issue, especially? Because from my experience on campus, that is a top three issue, especially for, you know, young females.
It absolutely is. It's a top one issue for many young female voters on either side of the coin, by the way. Pro-life Gen Zers are incredibly outspoken, labeling ourselves the pro-life or post-Roe generation, which is really exciting to see. I was really fortunate to do a speaking tour on college campuses last spring talking about this issue and the lies that the pro-abortion industry is telling our generation, including that men can have babies or that birth control is going to set you free, but mainly that abortion is the most empowering thing to women and that it's vital health care, and it's just not. We objectively know that from a reason, logic, and fact perspective, but where we can communicate that reason, logic, and facts often starts with saying women are in a situation of crisis most often when they are seeking an abortion. Maybe they feel financially unprepared to handle a pregnancy. Maybe they think that their autonomy is being taken away. They might be a victim of abuse, but if we really care about that woman and we have empathy or positive feelings towards her and want to make her life better, the only way we can truly help her is not by adding more trauma to the situation, which always happens with abortion, through ending the life of her child and maybe even risking her own life, not to mention making it up to 6 times more likely for her to commit suicide later on in her life, according to one European study. So communicating that sense of humanity, that sense of empathy, and saying, we're here to walk with you. Let's raise money for diapers. Let's help you pay your mortgage or your rent. Let's cover your prenatal costs, all of which are things that the pro-life movement is doing every day out of selflessness, empathy, and humanity, but often don't get to be a part of the conversation because we're so focused on fact, fact, fact.
So the for a young female activist that might be experiencing a lot of backlash or condemnation for their pro-life beliefs, walk through some of your biography, why it's necessary to speak truth despite all the opposition.
I have been called every horrible name in the book, Charlie, as you know, and you've experienced as well, starting on my college campus, which I talk a lot about in my first book, all the way to being professionally harassed online as a content creator now. But the truth is, the backlash and the hatred that you get from this world, especially when you are committed to speaking objective truth, often means you are walking in exactly the right direction. Well before I am ever a conservative, well before I ever speak about political issues, I am a Christian. And I believe it's my job and my responsibility every day to get up and tell people the truth, because the truth has a name, and that is Jesus Christ. But we are promised over and over again from Jesus Christ himself that we are going to be hated. We're going to be persecuted. We might lose our safety or even our life for being committed to sharing the truth with a world rejecting that very concept. But that's okay, because this world is not our home. The next one is, and we're called to try to make this one a little bit more like heaven. If finding the humanity in every single person, namely on this very important issue of abortion that has taken away one-third of our generation that should be here today and sadly isn't, simply because of the abortion industry alone, is a great way to get there, then there's no greater honor than getting called all of those horrible names in the book.
Isabel, plug your live stream and your social media as we close out.
We go live every single day on my long-form social media and video platforms to talk about the biggest cultural issues from a Gen Z perspective, just like this one. And you can follow me on social media at The Isabel Brown.
Very good. Isabel, thanks so much. Congrats on all your success. We'll have you back on soon. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. And like many of you, I'm a busy guy balancing family, show, travel, and TPUSA. When I needed a mortgage, I went to my friends Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian at Sierra Pacific. They were amazing. And look, I had some complicated stuff. Don't need to go into the details. They handled it personally. Call them if you have an aging family member, for example, that needs some financial relief. Ask them about a reverse mortgage. If you're self-employed and are finding it difficult to qualify because of that, they have my 100% full and complete endorsement. Call them and help you prepare. I'm telling you, anything mortgage related, please call them and not the big woke banks. Go to andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com. Fill out the quick form and they will get back to you with answers. Call them at 888-888-1172, andrewandtodd.com. They're good friends of mine. Full and complete endorsement. If you are a first-time home buyer renting and want to be, they'll call and help you prepare. Check it out, andrewandtodd.com. That is andrewandtodd.com. Fill out the quick form and they'll get you back with answers, andrewandtodd.com. Welcome back, Marjorie Taylor Greene, to the program. Marjorie, thank you for taking time today. I want to first give you an opportunity, Marjorie, to tell us about a declaration of war against the cartels, a piece of legislation that you're putting forward. If I'm misunderstanding, please correct me, but the floor is yours.
Charlie, today in Washington, D.C., we have President Zelensky came to the Capitol today, of course, talking to leaders with Washington, wanting billions and billions more dollars, Americans' hard-earned tax dollars, to go to a war in Ukraine, defending Ukraine's border, while at the same time, Washington, D.C. is completely ignoring the invasion happening at our border. There has been over 10,000 people invade Eagle Pass in the last 24 hours. This is unprecedented. Our country is under attack. And who is leading the attack, Charlie, is the Mexican cartels. And so I'm announcing on your show that I would like to get Washington to realize who our real enemy is to the American people, who's responsible for 300 Americans dying every single day from fentanyl, who's responsible for a multi-billion dollar human trafficking and drug trafficking industry that directly affects the United States of America. And that is the Mexican cartels, not the Mexican government, not the Mexican people. So I am currently drafting a declaration of war against the Mexican cartels. And I'd like to challenge anyone in Washington that beats the drums of war and beats their chest about fighting Russia to wake up and realize the oath of office they took is to the United States and the American people and to defend our borders. And if they want to talk big like that, then they should defend our country. And that is what the Defense Department is all about, is defending America, defending Americans in our states. And they are failing on the job poorly, very, very poorly.
Yes, they are. And what is nauseating, Marjorie, you have to serve with them, is so many Republicans seem infatuated with Zelensky, and they couldn't care less that yesterday, and we have the B-roll here, thousands and thousands of fighting age young men, not DNA tested, not background checked. We don't know who these people are, just waltzing right into America to invade the country. Can you help me understand, why do so many Republicans not care about America, but they care about a foreign country that most Americans can't pick out on a map? What is going on in their head?
I can't comprehend it, Charlie. Some of them tell me that, well, we made an agreement with Ukraine years ago when they got rid of their nuclear weapons, that we would help defend that country. But here's the situation. We aren't defending our own country. And Charlie, I just said to you that I'm writing a declaration of war against Mexican cartels. You didn't bat an eye. I'm sure you completely agree with me.
Of course I do.
No,
the fact we haven't done that, it shouldn't even be controversial. We should have tanks, drones, weapons. We should control our border the way Israel controls their border. Full military, full out stop. And so I didn't bat an eye, because we absolutely should be going after the cartels. We should go after the leaders for war crimes. It shouldn't even be controversial. I'm glad you're doing it, Marjorie. Realistically, it's probably not going to do anything because the Senate's not going to pick it up, but I'm glad you're doing it. I'm just trying to understand why.
Thank you.
No, I'm confused why Republicans have such indifference to the well-being of America, and yet they bring out the pom-poms for an uppity foreigner in a t-shirt.
Well, let me explain what's happening today. So we just had a rule vote for the defense appropriation bill. I voted no. I was one of a handful of Republicans. I was deciding vote. I voted no and tanked the rule. And the reason why I tanked the rule is because they refused to take the money out of the bill that's going to go for the war in Ukraine. And I had been telling everyone for weeks and weeks. I've been saying it since the beginning of this Congress. I will not vote to fund a penny to a war in Ukraine. I told them in our conference meetings. I told them to their faces. I told them over and over and over, I will not vote for this. And they still brought it to the floor. They forced my hand. I voted no, like I said I would. And now that we're up here arguing up here in Washington about Ukraine money being in the defense bill. And there's many Republicans that just want to keep it in there. In the meantime, completely ignoring the invasion at the southern border. It's an invasion. Stop calling them migrants. Stop saying these people are seeking asylum. That is a complete lie. Our country sends so much foreign aid to those countries they come from. We could have solved all their country's problems years ago, but it gets pocketed into their corrupt administrations and dictators' pockets. And then they send all their people to our country. Enough of this, Charlie. It has to end. And I'll tell you something. You know, people said it was impossible when I introduced articles of impeachment on Joe Biden's first day in office. And I want to tell you something. Today, we have an impeachment inquiry, and many members of Congress and the American people believe that Joe Biden should be impeached. So this may seem outrageous today, but I'm going to tell you, I guarantee, just like you support it and your viewers support this, many Americans will support this because they know who the true enemy is. Whether you live in Texas, whether you live in New York, whether you live in California, wherever you live in the country, we are getting overrun with people invading our country, and it's unsustainable.
It is unsustainable. And the true enemy of the American people is the Democrat Party and Rhino Republicans. So let's walk the timeline here, Marjorie. And you're fighting. And I'm in a little bit of a ticked off mood today. It's not you. I'm just so sick of these people, right? We have to go worship
at
the fake pagan altar of the Ukrainian abstraction while our country is just invaded. Again, that B-roll is just nonstop. So I want to know, we got 9 days to 9:30. What can we expect, Marjorie? And please, just if it's awful news, tell us the awful news. If Don Bacon and Dusty Johnson are just going to do a CR deal with the Democrats, it's better for us to know now. Are we going to get Jack Smith funding cut? Are we going to get any border stuff or Ukraine stuff? Walk us through how the next 9 days are going to unfold.
Charlie, I'm glad to tell you the truth. I always do. I came to Washington with three red lines. I said, no money for Ukraine, no money for COVID anything. COVID is over. And I said, no money for the weaponized government. I've told them all week long, I'm not voting for Ukraine funding. And I voted down the rule for the defense appropriation bill. And I'll continue to do it until they get it out. Here's where we stand on the special counsels. I've introduced an amendment and I have legislation that will rightfully return the responsibility to Congress to fund special counsels. It takes it away from the Department of Justice. So for anyone watching at home right now, we cannot defund Jack Smith's special counsel as it stands right now, because that is the Department of Justice holds the slush fund for special counsels. My amendment, my legislation, if the rest of my colleagues would agree to it, will return it, and it's constitutional, return the authority to Congress to fund special counsels. And that's our only hope for stopping Jack Smith's special counsel, for getting rid of David Weiss, who's doing nothing but protecting Hunter Biden. And that's the only chance we have. So I'm fighting for that up here, and I'll keep fighting for it. But what we'll have going into September 30th, Charlie, is a gigantic mess. What I hear this morning is that we have a group called the Problem Solvers. It's a group mixed of Republicans and Democrats who are all talking with the entire Democrat conference, making a CR plan that would fund the government for like 60 days. I think it does something on the border, but not enough for any of us. It does do maybe a 1% cut in spending. This is something I will not vote for. Most Republicans probably will not vote for it, but that is something that is being talked about. The Senate right now is working on a clean CR to send over to the House. And then we still have the Byron Donald CR, which still has funding for Ukraine in it. I don't care how many times Byron Donalds tries to tell people it doesn't have Ukraine money. It does. It's called the Ukraine Security Assistance Initiative. And that's the same money that's in the defense bill right now. So I'm a no on that CR. And it also doesn't do anything about the weaponized government. What I can tell you, Charlie, is we're at basically a week of wasted time trying to buy four more weeks to pass our appropriation bills when we should have been here all August and gotten our jobs done.
Whose decision was it to take an August recess that made French workers look like industrial commitment? I mean, it was like the country's falling apart and you guys took like a 6-week vacation. Whose decision was that?
Well, that's whoever makes up that House calendar. And I certainly am not on that committee and have no control over it. And unfortunately, Charlie, that's water under the bridge. I can complain that we didn't stay here and do it, but it's too late for that too. So here we are in this situation. The only thing that we can do in the Republican conference is do what the American people do back home, and that is get to work. And so we had an over 2-hour conference meeting last night where everybody went up to the microphone and said what they thought and talked about what they wanted to do. And I stood up there again, Charlie, and I told them, I'm not voting for Ukraine funding. I'm not voting for the weaponized government, and I'm not voting for COVID anything. And we have to do something about the border. And the bill still came to the floor this morning with Ukraine money in it. So the only thing we can do is get back in the room and argue with each other until we can get things right and find some way to move forward. But right now, we can't find any way to move forward.
But if I were to be honest, this whole thing is a mess. I mean, you guys had all summer to figure this out. And it's like this last minute fire. It's like a Chinese fire drill. People are running all over the place, running into each other. And everyone's pointing at each other. You got Matt Gaetz, you know, talking about vacate the chair, and they're finding documents in the bathroom. You got people all over the place, right? And it's not a good look for the party. It's not a good look for the caucus. It doesn't make us look like a serious party. It doesn't. And I wish we can get it solved. So I know you don't want to out any of your colleagues, Marjorie. We're all fired up. I mean, you're literally declaring war on the cartels, which is great. But this 9:30 thing is firing me up. I mean, I guess the excuses some of the moderates give is we're going to lose the House. What are they telling you if we don't fight? Tell us.
So a lot of the disagreement last night in our conference meeting was about top line spending numbers. And this is something that every single Republican agrees on. Our debt is out of control. We're at $33 trillion, and it's the overspending in Washington that got us here. But in our conference meeting, they were arguing about multiple different top line spending numbers, and all the numbers that they were arguing over were all cuts in spending. So that is something that we should easily be able to come to, is the fact that we are cutting spending and we're doing a good job of it with our appropriation bills. But and then we need to move forward. And it's so important. And I was telling everyone, Charlie, that look, you don't hear people at home yelling their heads off about the difference between $1.42 trillion and $1.56 trillion. No, you don't hear them saying that. What they are saying is they're saying stop funding a war in Ukraine. They're saying shut the border down. They're saying secure our country. They're saying do something about the transgender attack on our children. Stop these transgender surgeries on kids. They're saying stop grooming our children. These are the things and the issues that people are talking about. They're saying don't ever make me wear a mask again. Don't force me to take a vaccine. Investigate the VAERS reports. Why are vaccines causing injuries and deaths? These are the issues that Americans are talking about, but those were none of the issues that we were talking about in our conference meeting last night. And so that is what I tried to bring up to everyone, is that, yes, we are going to cut spending and we have to, but we can't do anything about the national debt unless we work on it for probably 10 years or more. It is such a crisis. It's going to take a 10-year plan to balance the budget. It can't be done in one CR that lasts for 30 days or 60 days, and it can't be done in 1 year's appropriation bills. It's impossible. But what we can do is we can hold the red lines that Republican voters care about. They care about election integrity. They care about the border. It is a crisis. It is a crisis, which is why I'm pointing the finger at who we should be blaming and who we should be declaring war on, which is the Mexican cartels, not the Mexican government, not the Mexican people, not Russia, not any other country. It's the cartels who are responsible, and they're profiting by the billions for human trafficking and drug trafficking. And we can't even find nearly 100,000 migrant children in our country. And over in Ukraine, Charlie, by the way, we hadn't even talked about this, the country that Mitch McConnell and Schumer and Lindsey Graham and Tom Cotton and everybody can't wait to give another $100 billion to. Ukraine is one of the worst countries on the earth for child sex trafficking. And they're harvesting children's organs over there. And this is a disgusting country. And we have Zelensky in the Capitol today, walking around in his green jumpsuit. He can't even put on a tie. He's worse than Fetterman. So we're in such a bad place, Charlie, that I'm willing to be honest about it. And we can't fix it until Republicans get focused on the things that our voters actually care about, and we get serious about fixing the problem.
Well, look, and Marjorie, you don't have to say anything about this, but I'm so sick of these people. Shut it all down. Throw away the keys. Say, thanks for playing. Go back home to your constituents, because this is so completely out of control. I have contempt for the leaders of the Republican Party that are entertaining this grifter in the jumpsuit walking around the halls of Congress while we're being invaded. I'm done. And if they're not going to cut spending, if they're going to fund Jack Smith, have a nice time. We don't have to fund the government. So I am out of patience. We appreciate your fight, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Our audience shares it, though. I've never seen cynicism so high, never seen negativity so high, lack of just any sort of vision. And I'll just say it again. We knew that this September 30th deadline was coming from the new Congress in. And all of a sudden we have this like hair on fire moment, as if, you know, you got Byron Donalds trying to break a deal and you got Dusty Johnson. Just shut it down. Start from square one. Get everyone in a room. Calm everyone down, because it's better to have no deal, quite honestly, at this point. Marjorie, thank you for fighting. We appreciate you. Thank you.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com. When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up, I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns.
What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.